He who has ears, let him hear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This expression, this saying, appears some 13 times in the New Testament. 6 times in the Gospels. The first time is when Jesus says a tribute to John the Baptist. And as Frank read the parable of the sower, and of course that appears in 3 of the Gospels, and at the end of each saying of the parable, Jesus makes that statement. And when he explains the parable of the tares, it also says, "He who has ears, let him hear." And the cost of discipleship. It also appears 7 times in the book of Revelation. After each letter written to the 7 churches in Asia, it ends with a similar expression. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Well, is Jesus trying to get us to pay attention to that incredible ear that God created for us? The ear, you know, converts pressures to electrical impulses. Pressure waves, pressure pulses to electrical impulses. And then those pulses are converted to electrical pulses that the brain interprets as sounds. Amazing, isn't it? We can communicate to each other. We can express our ideas, our thoughts, our feelings. And we hear them. The incredible ear. We have 2 ears, one on each side of our head, and that allows us to locate in what direction the sound is coming. I remember when I just graduated from high school and began to go to college. I was thinking about being an electronics engineer, and stereophonic sound was just being introduced as a way of listening to music. And it was so real, because normally when you played recordings or played tape recordings, the sound was coming out of a speaker and it sounded good, but it wasn't quite the way you heard it when you used both ears in a full auditorium. Stereophonic sound. 2 ears. Maybe it has to do with the construction of the outer ear. Look at the shapes and all the little intricate ridges and things like that, and they're all there for a purpose, to take those pressure pulses and make them go into the ear canal so that we can hear. The ear also aids us in our balance, in our body position. It tells us whether we're standing up or lying down, whether we're being jostled around. Amazing, the incredible ear. And it comes in various sizes and shapes. Just look. Have you paid attention? And it even has some other benefits, and I'll show you some pictures in a minute, other than hearing and balance. Okay, there's just a schematic. And this, let me tell you, is a simple depiction of what the ear is. And you can see the outer ear and then the ear canal, and you see some stuff there, and eventually something goes down a nerve to our brain, which somehow figures out we're talking to each other. It's amazing. So even that's pretty complicated right there, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. So is Jesus talking about that? And here's that outer ear with all the parts, and I'm not going to go into it, but there's a lot of parts there that are important so that we can hear clearly. Just an aside, my grandparents came from Italy, and music was important to them. And I can remember that my grandfather, and he didn't have a lot of money, but he saved his money so he could buy an FM radio. What that means is it's frequency modulated. And it produced very clear sound without static. And he wanted to be able to hear music as good as it could be reproduced. I mean, we had an old Victrola. You cranked it, and you put this needle down on a record, and you heard Scratchy, and of course, they had Caruso singing opera. And I would sit there as a little kid listening to these marvelous things. Anyway, that's sound for you. There's a lot of different shapes and sizes of ears. It has other uses. Pulls up your glasses. Sometimes you keep your pencil there. It's a good place to display jewelry. And if you want to store your valuables, you can... Maybe you don't do this anymore. But when I grew up, it was convenient for Mom that she wanted me to go in the direction I didn't want to go. She just grabbed hold. And maybe it's even used for self-imposed pain. I knew a fellow once who told me that he went under hypnosis to stop smoking. And he didn't think it worked. The hypnotic suggestion was every time you want to smoke, squeeze your earlobe. He said, I don't think it worked, but I sure have sore earlobes. So it did work. We have two ears. We have one mouth. And what does James tell us? This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So we're to listen twice as much as we talk. And for me, that's impossible. But he added, not only he who has ears, he added, let him hear. And this is the point of the message, and this is the point of the lesson today. Hear what? Jesus describes what is effective hearing if we just continue in the parable of the sower. Reading verses 10 to 17 of Matthew 13. The disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he who has an abundance. Wait, I'm going to skip there. Whoever has, to him shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of these people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear. And they've closed their eyes, otherwise they would see with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. So we see Jesus here saying that Yeah, they're getting the pressure waves, and there's information going in there, but because their minds are dull, there's some kind of filtering going on. They don't understand what's being said. They don't even see what's being done, and therefore the result is nothing's changing. The effect of this hearing is ineffective. They scarcely hear. They don't even hear it. It's just noise. Paul spoke similar words when he was talking to the Jews during his first imprisonment. You know, he eventually appealed to Rome because the Jews were trying to kill him. They were trying to put him to death. And some years later, he eventually gets to Rome. And when he's there, there are no Jews there to even bring up a case against him. So he has an opportunity to do some more teaching, another teaching opportunity. And you'll see Jesus uses this expression when there's always an opportunity to teach. Here he says, when they had set a day for Paul, this is the Jews, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken with one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears and hear with their ears. I said it every time. See with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. So with hearing properly, there's understanding, and there's action. There's going to be some action that takes place. Well, what are they supposed to hear about? Well, if we just look at what Paul said he was telling these people about the kingdom of God in verse 23 and about Jesus in verse 23. And he was, come on, the Holy Spirit in verse 25 and about salvation in verse 28. So he has an important message that he's delivering to them. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about Jesus. It's about the Holy Spirit. And it's about their salvation. Let me back up just a second. The information is coming in. But it just sounds like, and I'm going to use an expression that my brother uses a lot, blah, blah, blah. It's meaningless. And he likes to also say, yada, yada, yada. Another meaningless expression. And so even though here's information coming into their ears, this marvelous device that God has presented to us has the ability to influence our hearts. You know, we use the word heart, but we're talking about our brain, we're talking about our mind, what we think with and reason with, and what makes us very different than the other animals, this ability to communicate and reason and make decisions, and yet it's useless. They're not doing anything. As was pointed out in this morning's class, the establishment of the church. On the day of Pentecost, God's message was delivered to mankind through Peter and the apostles. And there were hearts there. There were people there listening. And there were hearts there that were not dull. They were ready to receive this information. And in verse 36 of chapter 2 of Acts, Peter, after explaining to them what's going on, how the Holy Spirit has come upon them to deliver this important news, the gospel, he says to them, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" If you move on down to verse 41, it said, "So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls." And they went home. No. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. How was that teaching done? It was done orally. They were hearing what God was revealing through the apostles to keep them in a situation where they would be pleasing to God. The message through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when John told them in the Gospel of John, Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you stranded. I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you stranded. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to come, and it's going to help you explain, remember things that I've taught you, and give you even more information." And that's what they continually did. They listened to the teaching of the apostles. Here's an example of some hearts that were dull. In Acts chapter 17, we have the scenario where Paul is in Athens. Paul was made an apostle to go preach to the Gentiles. And he was called to go over into Macedonia and eventually works his way down to Athens. And there he sees all kinds of forms of worship and all kinds of gods in various temples. And it perplexes him. And it says in verse 18, some of the Epicureans and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, "What would this idle babbler," it already tells you that their hearing is already affected, "this idle babbler," they're just hearing blah, blah, blah as far as they're concerned, "what does he wish to say?" And others sort of seem to say, "He seems to be a proclaimer of strange deities." So their filters kind of said, he's talking about a strange God. Because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is about?" How about Mars Hill? They took him to Mars Hill. "May we know what this new teaching is which you are proclaiming? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. And so we want to know what these things mean." And now it says here in parentheses, "All the Athenians and the strangers visiting there used to spend their time in nothing other than telling or hearing something new." This was their pastime. Go to Athens, and you're going to hear a lot of neat things, strange things, science fiction, whatever. And so they were there for that purpose. "Therefore, having overlooked," and Paul then continues in verse 30, "therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. That's the dullness going on in their mind. Sneering. "But others said, we shall hear you again coming this day." So, you know, you have preconceived ideas and you can't hear properly. We've all been there. Here, I want to just kind of say, we're past all that. Most of us here are Christians. We have heard, we've understood the gospel message, and we're living the gospel message in our lives. But as we're studying on Wednesday night in the book of Hebrews, there were some people there who were beginning to become dull of hearing. And so that's the warning for all of us to take heed. In Hebrews 1:1, the letter begins by saying, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the world. So we're getting this information through Jesus now. And some of the warnings that Kurt pointed out, in fact, I got a little nervous. I said, he's given my sermon on Wednesday night. And he just, as he went into some of the warnings, and that is in Hebrews 2:1, the writer says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. There's the message. We have to pay attention to what we heard. As Kevin is pointing out in our classes on the history of apostasy, or the history of the church, drifting away has occurred big time since the beginning of the church. And here the warning was to those first century Christians that we be careful not to drift away, for if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received its just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God testifying with them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So the word Jesus spoke, the good news that he was proclaiming, the kingdom of God is coming, and then the apostles after him could confirm it when they spoke it by performing signs of it. This was what we heard. This is the message that has been delivered to us. We have to make sure we don't drift away from that original message. There's another warning in Hebrews 3:7. He says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And then he makes reference to the wanderings of the Jews in the wilderness, and they did not enter into the land of Canaan. They didn't enter into his west. And the warning is, if we drift away, if we don't pay attention to what we heard, we too will drift away. And in chapter 5, verse 11, the writer wrote concerning him, and is referring to Melchizedek, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. And so already in the first century, these were Hebrews who had become Christians who were thinking about returning to Judaism. So that's what the letter is pointing out, that they're going in the wrong direction. And the warning here is, you know, you have stopped growing. You've stopped paying attention. You've become dull of hearing. Because at that time, by the time, they had been Christians long enough that they should have been teaching about Jesus, and yet they had need again of someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And then he says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We are supposed to be mature Christians. As we continue in this walk, we are to grow, we are to become more mature, we're to practice the things that we hear and learn. We have to be doers. We can hear, but to show that we really understood what we've heard, there's going to be things that result from that. We're going to be deep doers of what we hear. Proper hearing is going to result in doing. James says in 1:21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and is not a doer is like the man who looks in him. A man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. I look in the mirror and I see my father, an older man. I go, oh. But then I go away and I say, man, I'm 35. I can do all these things. It's true. But I'm not 35 anymore. Well, let's bring this lesson to a conclusion. The Hebrew writer points out, we're all heading towards our death. What's going to happen after that? Well, the Hebrew writer says, and inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. We're all walking towards physical death. And after that, Christ is going to return at some point and judge us. And there's either going to be a reward for us, or there's going to be punishment for us. And so, we need to hear these messages, have them affect our minds, so that we act appropriately. So that whenever our life is over, and it can come in an instant, Christ could return in an instant, we always need to be ready. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus explains to these Jews about the kingdom, what kingdom life is going to be like, what being in the kingdom is, he ends up by saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, floods came, winds blew, slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been built and founded on the rock. The words of Jesus. The rock, the foundation of our faith, will withstand the storms of life. On the other hand, everyone who hears the words and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And we know what happens. Great is its fall. So in finishing up, he who has ears, let him hear. We've seen that hearing is the first step in developing our faith. We have to hear about Jesus. Hearing, proper hearing, consistent hearing, is the key to our growth in our maturity as Christians. And hearing properly will guarantee our salvation on Judgment Day. This time, open your songbooks to the Song of Invitation, number 268. While that rustling is going on, I'll remind you Then in Romans 10:17, Paul says, that if you hear, and it says faith comes by hearing, comes from hearing by the word of God. So let's hear and believe the word of God. Romans 10:17. Let's believe that Jesus is our Lord and Christ, as we read in Acts 2:36. Peter will claim that this Jesus, whom you've crucified, is both Lord and Christ. We need to believe that. We need to confess that Jesus is Lord. We need to confess that, as it says in Romans 10:10. We need to repent of our sins. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus.